Hello.
Hola.
And welcome to Resync.
Yes.
An Assassin's Creed podcast. What up, gang? We're back. Back into his house. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
But we're here. I mean, to be fair, this was a fairly good, like, stopping point. I mean, we finished season one. It took us a little longer than we had planned, but we got there.
You know, life happens.
Yeah, life happens. I mean, Lucas started a new job and got tied up with that for a little bit. We had to figure out the new time schedule, which, congratulations, it's no longer on Thursdays. It's now on Tuesdays. And also, happy holidays. I'm wearing my Christmas shirt. And we're having a lot of great times. This will be up for Christmas Eve for you guys, so
yeah.
Happy holidays to all who celebrate.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and other things.
Exactly. But, you know, we had to get all that figured out. And then I have been working a ton of overtime for the holidays, mandatory, and so things have been busy, so we just haven't had a whole lot of time. We haven't had a lot of quality time to spend together in general. But the times have passed. It is the dawn of a new era, and we're very excited. But we talked about going into Assassin's Creed 2, but like I said, we've got a couple bonus episodes because this is a deep dive podcast. We would be remiss if not to check out anything we can related to Assassin's Creed in its release order. And so this week, we have Assassin's Creed Volume 1, Desmond. The graphic novel.
This guy.
Pretty cool. Yeah, we both have our copies.
Wow.
Tink! And so, if you're listening to the podcast version, sorry. But, yeah, so, we're going to get into that this week. This isn't going to be a super long episode. There's not quite as much to talk about. But there is a bunch of other things to talk about. One of which being the trivia question from, I say in quotes, last week. It happens. It happens. It may or may not have been 2 months. Who cares?
Yeah.
Last time's trivia question was, what major stealth action-adventure game released in between Assassin's Creed 1 and 2? So, shout out to Zane Rashan for responding with, could that game be Splinter Cell? And you make a compelling argument, my friend. Close, but not it. There actually wasn't a Splinter Cell game released in between 1 and 2. There was one released in between 2 and Brotherhood, I'm pretty sure. It's either 2 and Brotherhood or Brotherhood and Revelations. And that's Splinter Cell Conviction. But not this one. Very close, but it's actually a very popular game. And I believe I hinted in the last episode that it was locked to a console. I'm fairly positive I gave that hint, which Splinter Cell is not. Splinter Cell is backwards compatible, at least on Xbox. But locked on the PlayStation 3 is Metal Gear Solid 4.
Good old Snake.
Guns of the Patriots. So, yeah. It's, from all I've heard, a just phenomenal game that is just locked behind this stupid little console. And so, you know, there's been rumors about it coming to the Metal Gear Solid Collection Volume 2 whenever that releases. We got Volume 1, I believe, last year in, like, 2023, and here we are about to get into 2025 with no news on a Volume 2. But personally, I think they were waiting on money from Silent Hill 2, of which they definitely got, so I believe we'll be getting that soon. Also, we've got Metal Gear Solid Delta coming out, so, you know, there's stuff coming. But, yeah, so that is our trivia question from last week. Stay tuned for this week's. Now, going forward, it has been a while since we've last spoken. So, there's been some Shadows updates as well, which, when we last spoke, it had just been delayed to Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2025. Since then, we've gotten a suite of updates about the game, and for all intents and purposes, it looks like they've used the time well. Lucas, how are you feeling about the game at this point?
I don't ever really have any faith and new Assassin's Creed stuff, but that's just me. But I do have, it looks a lot like Ghost of Tsushima, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think that is, as long as they, you know, took the good parts of that game and just exactly seal it, I think it looks like it could definitely be fun and playable, and I will probably play through this game. Well, actually, I haven't ended up playing through all of Assassin's Creed, but yeah. I'll probably play this when it comes out.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think, for me, it looks like For Honor devs making Ghost of Tsushima. Like, it looks like a blend of those two games. I can definitely feel the influence of For Honor's combat because they added a lot more complexity to combat, not quite at For Honor's level, as much as I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they've added some more depth to the combat. I am a little torn on how they're handling Nawe and Yasuke because as a, you know, Assassin's Creed purist, you know, obviously I'm going to gravitate towards Nawe. And so it'll be interesting to see if they try to incorporate both so that you're not just going with one over the other and completely ignoring the other, or if it's going to be more of a, we just want the game to be accessible, play your way. Because I don't really want to completely ignore Yasuke because he has his own narrative, his own thing. But also, I feel like I'm going to enjoy playing Nawe 10 times more than as Yasuke. Because in Assassin's Creed, I want the stealth. I want to be able to be an assassin.
Yeah.
And even though Yasuke is technically an assassin and he does have stealth options, he is very much combat oriented. And I don't know, it definitely could be. If the level design, if the game design is strong enough, they could incorporate missions with Yasuke that make it continue to fit and utilize it well to where I can have that fun. Because there is fun to be had in Assassin's Creed in trying to be stealthy, getting caught, and then just like an all-out brawl ensues where you feel like a badass. You know, if they can incorporate that well into Yasuke, like, there could be missions where you start off stealthy with Nawe, and then something, like, in the story develops, and then they're exposed, and now you switch to Yasuke and start, like, beating down. That could be cool. And they've alluded to doing that. So, like, I'm withholding judgment for now, but that does worry me a little bit.
My biggest thing with the big, like, with the split kind of characters is, like you said, I want to feel like an assassin. I want to be an assassin, so I'm probably going to be more towards Nawe. But I also liked the old games because, like, if I wanted to use a club in the later games, you can use a club. You run around and just whack people with a club. You can go stealthy. And, like, I remember I would switch my playstyles up a lot to do that, and I feel like it's, I don't know, it takes away some of the value of being an assassin that, like, you can't just do everything.
Right. Which, to be fair, you can do everything with both. It's just, obviously, one prefers one playstyle to another. Which, to be fair, is more realistic versus having a one-man army.
Yeah, and as long as, like, the narrative is good between the two characters, I don't think I'll have an issue with it. Because, like, if you're going to do that, like, have the two characters, like, you got to have a good story. Like,
right. Which I'm very excited about that. I hope they do good things. I actually really enjoyed the story of Star Wars Outlaws. And so I think Ubisoft's writing team has gotten pretty strong. So I have a fair amount of faith they'll do some good justice here with the story. As well as the fact that the last few Assassin's Creed games have had really good stories. Like, their stories are peak. You know, you can make, like, you can say whatever you want about the gameplay and about the RPG-ness of it, but the stories for the RPG trilogy, fantastic. Mirage kind of was whatever. But, like, you know, the three, they're solid, like, genuinely fantastic stories. But, going back to Aquilus, or in this, to say more accurately, Desmond, because that's what it's called, and also, let's do it in front of, like, where the mic isn't. Oh. There you go. Yeah. Look at that. Sorry again to podcast listeners.
Yeah, we're doing things that you have to see. We're not going to tell you what it is.
You know what? Yeah. So, anyway, cool stuff. Watch the YouTube video. But, for what is the first volume in the Aquilus trilogy, we counted of these... How many total pages is there? Let's see. There's 48 pages total in this volume. Very short volume. Four of them feature Aquilus. The rest is basically just a recap of the first game.
Yeah.
But then it goes a little bit into some stuff, which I said, like, there are two things that I really... Well, three things that I think are pros about this graphic novel. One, I like the Aquilus content. It's intriguing. Super short. But, like, what's there is good. I like that. I love the 2000s art style. Basically, if you're looking in the video version, I'll try to show off some of just, like... It's very much the 2000s era comic trend of, like, oversaturated, heavy shadows. Like, it's very nostalgic for comics of that time. And I dig it. I think they did a good job.
I just don't like the way Desmond looks.
Look at that man. Yeah.
Just that picture.
Yeah, sometimes they aren't good, a little more. But I like the overall aesthetic.
No, yeah, I like it too. I was just a goofy frame.
As well as the... I really like the penultimate basic... Well, pretty much the final scene of the graphic novel, which features a new conversation between Desmond... Lucy. I was blanking on it. Desmond, Lucy... Clay, and I believe it is Tom is the other guy.
The guy who, like, did the animus.
Yes. Tom. Which, to clarify, I don't remember if I clarified last week, the modern day events of this comic are not canon. They mix up the subject numbers that they don't follow later in the games. The past stuff is of dubious canonicity. They haven't, like, denied that it's canon, but they haven't confirmed it either. And, you know, they're never going to make a game about Aquilus, you know, for all we know. And so it's one of those things where, it could or couldn't. You never know. But, I do enjoy that little tidbit of conversation. It adds a little more context because, again... we'll get into a little bit more of the modern day context once we get into Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we kind of see an outside world outside of Abstergo. Because you're in Abstergo the entire game in the modern day. You never leave that laboratory. Now we're actually seeing a little bit, like a little peek at what the world is like in this modern era for the Assassins. And so I like that. I like the conversation. The dialogue's cool. But let's be real here, guys. This comic is very surface level.
It's very.
What are you thinking? What are you thinking, Lucas?
It's not even. It felt like a something. It was meant for, like, middle schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't that good. I'm trying to be nice, but it's just not that good.
Yeah.
I was really hoping it would be better, just because Assassin's Creed, but the stuff doesn't happen. Right. So it's just basically just fan fiction, like.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel about it. It's just fan fiction. But it was a fun read.
Yeah.
It's not a terrible story.
Right.
It's just, I'm a little butthurt that, like, none of it happened. Like, except for, like, the old day stuff.
Right. Which, I mean, honestly, it kind of makes me feel better to view it as, like, a glorified art book because, yeah. You know, like, a lot of it is a retelling of the game. And it is, I do enjoy some of the ways they contextualize because, obviously, in a game, you're fighting bosses, it's a quick battle. You know, the narrative element is kind of split when it comes to gameplay.
And they, like, directly quoted the game, too, in there, which I thought was kind of cool.
So I like the way they transition some of it. I like the way that they explain the final boss battle with Al-Mualim in more of a narrative regard, because obviously they're not going to show them, like, you know, hitting swords for like four panels as like a game would, you know, like it's much more narratively driven. It cuts
it down, yeah.
And so I like the way they transition that in, you know, by transitioning it to a different medium. And like I said, the art is good most of the time.
Yeah. I also liked how it gave you kind of like a different perspective. Like it wasn't like it wasn't really from the perspective of Desmond too much.
Right.
It was more from like almost the perspective of like a Abstergo employee. So it was kind of cool seeing like the group of men just watching him from behind glass, like who are just like trying to make decisions and be like, we should just kill him, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah. And yeah. At the end of the day, this feels like an Easter egg or a little just like bonus, you know, nothing that you necessarily need to like 100% get to, you know, get your complete Assassin's Creed experience. But I wouldn't say this was a complete waste of time, but I was definitely pretty underwhelmed. I knew it wasn't going to be a whole lot with it, like this thin, 48 pages, 10 bucks. Like, I mean, I knew I wasn't in for, you know, the Magna Carta or anything.
It took me 20 minutes, I think, to read this. Not even really 20 minutes. Like,
yeah, it did not take me long. Now, granted, I read this 2 months ago. And so I kind of, but like, I literally basically reread it, just flipping through and talking about it with Lucas, both here now and then, like, leading up to the podcast as we were kind of going over and talking about it. But yeah, it's not long. What's there is fine. You know, like I said, I think there's interesting tidbits you can take from it, but overall pretty meh, pretty mediocre.
Yeah. Like most of the book is just a different perspective of the ending of the game, like of the like kind of ending of the game, in my opinion. Like it kind of shows him getting there and then they just cut to him being fighting Al-Mual and Malak comes in for a second, is like, hey, Al-Mualim's bad, which, you know, he does in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's interesting. Like personally, like, score-wise, I'm at a 5. I'm at a 5 out of 10. That's where I'm at here. How would you feel?
What? I'm with you. I feel like a 5 is a good number, because it's not, like, it's not complete shit.
Yeah.
It's just...
There's things I like
just
about
it. It's just not, like, amazing.
Yeah. It is perfectly mediocre.
Perfectly mediocre.
Yeah, it's whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't think it's a complete waste of money, but I also don't think it's a necessary use of money. But yeah, like some of the, like, which I really like that panel. I'll pull that up here. But
this one?
Yeah. Which one is that? That's the one of the first ones, right?
Yeah.
It's like the second page. But like, you know, some of this art is really well made and they've got like good environments and stuff like that. They pop their pussy sometimes. Like, it's sweet.
It's like, this is kind of just random, but one of the nights I was looking at like the stars, and I have an app called Stellarium where you can like see all the constellations, and I noticed like it was around the time like we were supposed to be reading this book, and one of the constellations was Aquilus, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, and it shaped like a bird, and I thought that was cool, but then like I zoomed in on the constellation, and one of the stars is named Altair, and I was like, what is some like deep lore that we're just not getting that they just like kind of, I like not like established, like just world, almost like just natural world building that is just not talked about.
Yeah there's lots of cool stuff, and I do love Ubisoft's attention to detail.
Yeah,
what I don't love is their attention to detail and then not using not it using later it. On
yeah
and just disregarding it. Like, again, like they could have made this canon, but they chose to change it.
You just retcon it.
When you had that much attention to detail going into it, just to be like, meh. And so, I mean, I'm curious if it did have to do with reception, because these didn't sell particularly well. Also, they were only in French because, you know, Ubisoft is a French company.
Yeah.
So it was only in French until, I believe, 2012 is when we got an English language version. So for the first... It would have been 3 years. For the first 3 years of its life, you know, the majority of consumers couldn't read it. And so, could be a fair thing. But yeah, I don't think it really shook out that well. So then maybe they just kind of like abandoned it versus really, you know, going in on it or trying to divulge, but there is a full trilogy. And we will eventually get to volumes 2 and 3 as we get through that. We've only got one more bonus episode left until we get to Assassin's Creed 2.
The bonus episode after this?
Yeah. It's the short film Assassin's Creed Lineage. And cool. So I'm actually very excited about this because I have seen this short film before and it's really cool and it's a nice primer to get into Assassin's Creed
2. How long is it?
It is, I believe, a 30-minute film. It was originally released in 10-minute segments, and then the complete collection was released, and it's literally available on YouTube. It's completely free to watch. You can, you know, watch the whole thing, and it is a live-action short film serving as a prologue to Assassin's Creed 2, leading into the events and introducing you to Ezio and his family. It's really good. I really love it, especially with all of the love and admiration I have for Assassin's Creed 2 and just being so excited to jump into that world again for the first time in a long time. Very, very excited. And I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it. So like I said, it's completely free on YouTube. There's no investment like this. You can just watch it and it's cool. And there's some, you know, some good talent in there. It's awesome. I love it.
I love it.
I love it. But trivia question for this week. So, all I'm going to say is, how many days did it take for Desmond to figure out where the Piece of Eden was in the first Assassin's Creed game? There's a certain amount of days. It can be tracked by the number of sequences and, you know, just how, now you can't necessarily go by, okay, 7 sequences, 7 days, because, you know, it might not, that's not necessarily how it was all tracked, but how many days did it take for somebody to get the Piece of Eden? That's the trivia question for this week, kind of relating to the graphic novel, but also as a whole to the first season we just went through. Best of luck to you all.
Oh, yeah.
And, like I said, a little bit of a shorter episode this week, not a whole lot to go over, a lot of it just kind of catching up on news regarding Assassin's Creed. But thank you so much for watching. Do you have any final thoughts?
Watch that video. Not the video, the whatever thing. What's that called? Assassin's Creed?
Lineage,
yeah. I don't know anything. But watch that so that we can, you know, talk about it.
Yeah, so next week we will be talking all about Assassin's Creed Lineage, another shorter bonus episode before we launch into Season 2 of Resync, baby!
Ezio
Auditore. Hold on. Who is mentioned in the very last page of this graphic novel. If I can get to it.
Look, in the pictures. There he is.
Look at that dude. Look at that dude.
And all of his cape and everything.
Very exciting. We're almost there. In 2 weeks' time, we'll be playing Assassin's Creed 2. It's very exciting. I hope you guys enjoy, but appreciate all of you. Shout out to all the fans. Shout out to the guy who reached out on Twitter asking about Resync Season 2.
Yeah.
Super exciting to know there are people genuinely interested in this stuff, liking this sort of thing. Again, we're massive Assassin's Creed fans, and so we love any opportunity we can to gush about it and kind of reminisce on the old days, look hopefully towards the future. Because, you know, let's be real here. Ubisoft has a lot riding on Assassin's Creed Shadows. There's been numerous talks about Ubisoft being bought out, and they did not meet sales expectations with Star Wars Outlaws, and so this is a make-it-or-break-it moment for them. And so it's something they've been working really hard on. Hopefully that pays off, and we get some cool stuff. I'll be there regardless, but once again, thank you. Lucas, it has been a pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
Friends, we will see you guys next time for some more Resync.
Toodles.
Toodles.